Everyone 16 and up can now get vaccinated in Florida. The race is on to get more shots into arms. Good morning. We're live from Studio 5. I'm Melissa Ross, and this is First Coast Connect. Thanks for listening. Just ahead, we'll drop in on one large vaccination site in the city to get an update on how it's going now that eligibility is for basically everyone. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Then later, a look at what's good for you this Wednesday, some positive midweek news. But first, the latest numbers on the pandemic. The state reports 5,556 new COVID cases overnight and 70 new deaths as of Tuesday. At the same time, 3.7 million Florida residents have been fully vaccinated now with the coronavirus vaccine. That's good news. And at the same time, some parts of the state did see long lines at vaccination centers this week. That's because the state opened up vaccinations to every Florida resident age 16 or older. Now, here in Jacksonville, one big vaccination site sponsored by FEMA, the one up at the Gateway Mall, is getting more traffic, but still not running at capacity. So this morning, we're getting the word out that vaccination opportunities are still happening. Let's check in now with Brandy Bates, the state PIO at Jacksonville's Gateway Vaccination Site. Hi, Brandy.
Hi, thanks for having us on.
Great to have you. Also on the line, Kimber Kipp, the Public Information Officer for FEMA, also on the ground there at Gateway. Kimber, good morning.
Good morning.
So good to have you both on the show. And here's our question to callers. Have you been vaccinated? Do you plan to go soon? Are you resisting getting the vaccine? If so, tell us why. Give us a call. It's 549-2937. Emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Tweets to @MelissaInJax. And our Facebook page is open to you as well. Brandy, let's begin with you. Anyone 16 or older in Florida can get the shots. So tell us what you're seeing on the ground there at Gateway. What's the foot traffic like?
Well, yesterday when we opened the doors for persons wanting to receive the Johnson & Johnson shot, we saw 90 people lined up before 7 a.m. We processed them all very quickly. We're excited to see big crowds here. Don't let that deter you if you hear that we have any big crowds, because it moves really fast. We have a very smooth process. But we do have plenty of vaccine. We encourage everybody to come out, and our hours are 7 a to 7 p, 7 days a week. So that generally suits everybody's schedule.
That's right. Now, Kimber, as Brandy mentioned, there's been a phase or a change, I should say, in the type of shot that's being given. Can you explain? There's been a changeover, hasn't there, from the two-dose Pfizer vaccine to the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine at federal sites. Can you bring us up to date on where things are with that?
Absolutely. What we've done is we've gone ahead and introduced the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to our site, and we're able to provide that now for folks who are 18 years of age and older. However, we are still providing the second doses of the Pfizer vaccine for those who have received the first Pfizer vaccine here at the sites.
All right. And how much longer will FEMA be on the ground there at Gateway? And how much longer will the tents be up, and will people be able to access this opportunity?
Right now, we are scheduled out through May 26th. I don't know what the footprint will look like, but we have a confirmed date of May 26th at this point.
Okay.
And, of course, according to the state, you know, we are here to help and support them, so as long as they need us.
Right. So, Brandy, FEMA's on the ground, but their role, it seems, is to support the state in its efforts to get more people vaccinated. With 16 and up now eligible to be vaccinated, that's every, all adults, and some children may soon be able to be vaccinated, too. The rate of vaccinations, how would you gauge it in Florida, and what type of improvement would you like to see over the coming weeks?
I think the state of Florida is doing a great job. I do want to mention, though, when you talk about children 16 and 17, that is only for the Pfizer shot.
Right.
And we are only offering J&J now, so, and that's 18 and up. We're not authorized to give it to persons under 18.
And so if you're 16 or older, thank you for that. You do need to go with an adult. You do need to follow some protocols, and it is the Pfizer only. But that said, you know, there are a large number of people around the country that are vaccine hesitant. What's your message to them? They know that they can go get the vaccine now. Anyone can go get it. A lot of people are still hesitating. What do you want to say to that group?
I'd like to encourage them to do the research, to check out the CDC's website, to talk to their friends or their family members who have been vaccinated, to talk to their healthcare provider, learn about the benefits. Certainly everybody, I can appreciate hesitancy. I can understand that people, you know, might have some questions, and that's why we have all these great resources available to them to give them the answers. So if they'll check out the Department of Health website, check out the Florida Department of Emergency Management site or the Center for Disease Control, the answer to every question you can think of is available there.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with state and federal officials about vaccinations in our area. Give us a call. 549-2937. Now, Brandy, the FEMA site is a big one, but there are some satellite sites available to people, too. What's the latest from some of those outposts?
So we have two what we call spoke sites. There's the Carver Center and Oceanway Community Center, and they're smaller. Their hours are not 7 to 7. I think their hours are 8 to 5.
9 to 5.
But, you know, this gives more locations for people in the community. In the city of Jacksonville, there are about 60 places where people can get a COVID shot. And Kimmer and I will both tell you, we don't really care where you get your shot. We just want you to get your shot. We have teams that are working, canvassing neighborhoods, going door to door, talking to folks who might be hesitant to get the vaccine, sharing with them the information on that. And we're working to make this as convenient as possible for everybody with the hub, with the two spokes, and with our mobile sites.
And Kimber, on the line with FEMA, President Biden moved the deadline for states to open COVID vaccines to all U.S. adults by April 19th. He marked the 150th million COVID vaccine shot this week and gave remarks about this, saying that we are still in a life and death race against the virus. The president cautioning the pandemic is not over yet, Kimber, with COVID variants still quite active here in Florida. We have more activity with these deadly contagious variants than almost any other state. It is a race, isn't it, to get more people vaccinated, to get ahead of the continuing spread of this disease?
Absolutely. I think it is imperative that everybody does the research and finds their comfort level and gets vaccinated. Is very important.
Are you frustrated that it's been so difficult to get more people to get the shot? It's become politicized, which is really unfortunate because this is simply about public health.
I don't want to say I'm frustrated. I understand their concern. And like what Brandy said, I do understand their hesitancy. But if they do the research and they talk with people, talk with their physicians and get their advice, that's all we can ask them to do.
It's 549-2937. Here are some tweets coming into the show. Stacy tweets us, "I got vaccinated at the Regency Square site. So grateful, and I'm encouraging everyone I know. I'm looking forward to availability for our 12-year-old son," she says. You know, Brandy, it's a small group, but there are children out there who have had COVID. I work with a good friend whose son has been seriously ill with COVID for some time. And as parents watch this roll out, they are, some parents, looking forward to having their children vaccinated when that's appropriate. I realize that's not the main push of what you're doing right now, but could you talk a little bit about that down the road for those parents that are really following this closely?
Yeah, we're certainly looking forward to when a vaccine becomes approved for minors, or actually, I guess we do have one that's approved for 16 and 17, but for all ages. And right now, one of the most important things we can encourage is these parents to go ahead and be role models. Go ahead and get your vaccine now. Show your kids you're getting your vaccine so that it makes it easier for them. And also, if you're someone who doesn't necessarily think you need the vaccine, go ahead and get the vaccine for the people right now who can't, for these kids who can't get a vaccine. You've got to do it for them. And we're really hoping and encouraging everybody to be that role model and that guiding light for someone else.
Right. I mean, that's something, the framing of this, I think, is important, Brandy, because people tend to think of being vaccinated as a way to protect themselves, but it's also just a way to help society. I mean, the sooner we're all vaccinated, the sooner we can move on from this whole thing.
Right. Let's get back to normal. I think we're all pretty tired of the way things have had to be for the last year. And here's our golden ticket to getting back to life as it was before. So take that opportunity.
Yeah. We're talking with state and federal officials about vaccinations in Florida. Normally we get inundated with calls about this. I don't know. Maybe people are waking up late today. Let us know your vaccination story, your vaccination fears, your vaccination questions. As the experts are on the line, it's 549-2937. Can I ask you guys, Kimber, let me ask you about this. Vaccination cards. When people have been fully vaccinated, they typically they have a card proving it. What do you advise people to do with those cards to keep them safe? And what are your thoughts about the whole hue and cry over vaccine passports, whether people would need to show proof of vaccination to go certain places?
Well, we encourage folks to keep their vaccination cards. It's even been suggested to get them laminated so you can they won't fade out or get tore up in the wash or something like that. I'm going to have mine done that way. Mm-hmm. When I get mine. So as far as the other, I can't really comment on that. I don't have any information on it.
Okay. You know, I got mine laminated for free the other day at Office Max, and people instantly reminded me, you probably shouldn't have done that in case you need to get a booster shot later. Oh, well, if I have to do that later, I'll figure out something. Lots of calls coming in now. 549-2937. Nancy in Ortega. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to let everyone know I'm driving home from the Gateway Center as we speak, and it is so efficient. It felt so safe, and it's not crowded, and the staff there is so professional. It's really a great experience, and, you know, the shot itself doesn't hurt at all, and they have you sit for 15 minutes, and you're on your way. I couldn't be more happy with the process and the way it was organized there.
Nancy, I'm so glad to hear that. Thanks for the call. You know, Brandy, for people that have transportation, getting to the Gateway site is easy. There are buses running there. Can you talk a little bit, though, about efforts to get people to the sites that don't have transportation? There's been a real push to reach out into communities that have those problems.
Yes, and actually, while I'm talking to you, I'm looking right at a bus stop just outside the Gateway Center. This is one of the reasons why we're working to get the vaccine to the people. We understand that there are transportation issues, and these mobile units, or these, the spoke sites that we have, are great for that. So, you know, the spoke sites have been rotating so that we can hit the different areas. And it's also, you know, great to remind people that although we'd love for you to come here and get your vaccine here, like Ms. Nancy just mentioned, and have that experience here, there's a variety of other places where you can go. So if you frequent a CVS or a Walgreens or some other, if you're going there anyway to pick up your medication and they're offering the vaccine, go ahead and take it. Don't miss that opportunity to get it as soon as possible.
Woody in Arlington. Hello, Woody. Good morning, Woody. Go ahead.
Yeah. My question is that I'm confused. Some people have told me that Regency Mall is closed. You're not giving shots there anymore.
No.
Someone told me to go to my CVS.
I don't think that's right. As far as I'm aware, they're still vaccinating, Woody, and Kimber, it's not a federal site, so I'll put this question to Brandy again. Brandy, it's my understanding that the Regency Mall, people can still be vaccinated.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We're here 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week. We were here all 12 hours on Easter Sunday. We are not actually in the brick-and-mortar part of Gateway Mall. Mm-hmm. We are in a tent. It's a little tent compound out there. But, Mr. Woody, we are definitely open, and we will be open all the way through May 26th.
Right. But I think he was asking about the Regency Mall in Arlington.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Woody, that is open. That is open. So go over there. Pete in Jacksonville. Hi, Pete.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question regards my wife. I'm in my 70s and have had both Pfizer shots at Regency, as a matter of fact, and it went great.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has had some hesitancy due to allergic reaction concerns, so she's looked forward to getting the J&J shot, which apparently is a little less allergic reactive. At any rate, whether that be true or not, now she's hesitating because she wants to travel to Europe in August to see her mother, which she does annually, and she's concerned that if she takes the J&J shot now, that it will not be recognized as current come August. Is there any guideline as to how long the shot will be recognized for, and if and when boosters will be recommended and available?
Okay, Pete, sure. Kimber Kipp, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and his wife's concerns. What can you tell him?
I would suggest that he talk with a physician or look up some information from the CDC.
Yeah, I mean, it's my understanding that the vaccines are all the same in the sense that if you're vaccinated, you're vaccinated from one of the three majors, and that it's good to go. You're good to go to travel. That's my understanding, correct? And if I'm wrong, someone will let me know right away. But Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, all internationally accepted. Yes?
I would encourage her to go ahead and get it. I've not heard of any concerns about people, we don't have any information yet about how long the vaccines last, but go ahead and get your vaccine now. And then if there's a booster required later, that information will be coming out from the CDC. But I would go ahead and take every available opportunity to be vaccinated as soon as possible.
Thanks for that. Lorraine up in Nassau County. Hi, Lorraine. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. My question is about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine being given out at the FEMA Center, specifically Gateway Mall. Is it necessary to have an appointment to go to those centers?
Right. Brandy, you don't need an appointment, do you?
Absolutely not. It is walk-in. You could walk in right now, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., 7 days a week.
Right. So the whole reason you ladies are on the radio is there's good foot traffic there, but they have to continue to get the word out and get as many people coming as possible. Lots of calls as we check in on the Gateway vaccination site this morning with both state and federal officials here on the show, 549-2937. Michelle is downtown. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
First of all, I went and got my shot at the Gateway Center, and everything was fast, efficient, really nice. I didn't even feel it, so thank you for what you're doing. I did have a question about, is this shot at the federal site or state sites open to everyone? I think it's important everyone be able to have access to it, regardless of whether or not they're a citizen. And what kind of ID requirements are there?
Okay. As far as I know, whatever ID you have is good to go, Kimber. A driver's license or any ID people have. Can you tell her a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it is open to everyone 18 years of age and older, Florida residents. You do need to bring proof of your residency. So if you do not have a driver's license or a state ID, you can bring a bank statement or something with your Florida address on it, and we'll accept that.
Les on the west side. Hello, Les. The West Side is the best side, Les, as you know.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to find out if taking a picture of your records has been discussed.
Yeah, I did that. Thanks for that. Brandy, I got my little card laminated, and I also took a picture of it. And we're getting emails from listeners advising to do that. Do you agree?
It never hurts to take to have a photographic record of something. And I took a picture of mine as well, just in case I lost it or something. Now, when it comes down to it, I don't know if that's going to be as good as having the paper copy, but that's the best I can do right now. I would like to forewarn people. A lot of my friends, you know, took pictures of their vaccine card and put it on social media. Make sure if you do that, you put your thumb over your name and birth date information. You don't want to necessarily broadcast all that information on social media.
That's right. Protect your identity. Okay. So to recap, the Gateway site is open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. The Regency Mall site is also open, similar hours. There are satellite sites all around town. There are retail pharmacies. There are all kinds of places to go get your COVID shot. And anyone 18 and older can get any of the shots. If you're 16 or older, you can get the Pfizer shot with parental consent. So everyone, please get out there and get your shot. Kimber Kipp with FEMA, any last insights for our listeners?
Please come and see us. Get your shot wherever you want to get it. We encourage everybody to do the research and to really think and consider that you're not just doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for your family and for others.
That's right. Thank you, ladies, so much for your time. Kimber Kipp, Public Information Officer with FEMA. Brandy Bates, Public Information Officer for the state, both on the ground there at the Gateway Vaccination Site. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much more still ahead on the show. Meanwhile, later in the hour, some positive news and notes from the week. Also, we'll tell you about a rally this weekend in Riverside to stop Asian hate. That's coming up too, but up next.
My statistics are $165 billion worth of food thrown out by Americans annually.
We are a wasteful bunch here in this country. We waste so much food. Up next, some ways to change that bad habit. We'll be right back. This is terrible. Americans waste billions of pounds of food every year. We throw out so much food that we could save or redirect to others who need it. This week is Florida Food Waste Prevention Week. It's the first ever effort of its kind to call attention to this issue and, more importantly, what we can all do to make small changes in our habits. I spoke about it with event organizer Joanna Behrens. Take a listen. Hey, Joanna. Thanks for talking to us. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So this is the first ever Florida Food Waste Prevention Week. Tell us about it.
Well, it is exactly what it sounds like. The campaign and the week is aimed at increasing awareness among every Floridian on how much food is wasted and asking them to evaluate their relationship with food and take the necessary steps to start to avoid food waste.
Easier said than done. Let's begin with how much are we wasting?
Incredible amounts. At this point, my statistics are $165 billion worth of food thrown out by Americans annually, and that equates to roughly 40% of all food that is produced in this country. Americans waste.
Wow.
Astonishing.
Yeah. How crazy. You know, I'm as guilty as anybody. Sometimes I'll buy vegetables in particular, and then I don't cook them quickly enough, and they go bad. I think, why did I do that yet again?
So
people waste food in all kinds of ways, though. What are some ideas you can give us on how we can do a better job with this?
Well, I am specifically committed to the hospitality industry. Tourism is the number one industry here in Florida, and our work within reducing food waste within the meetings and events industry has been championed for the last 5 years as we try to inspire those who plan events to do something in either reducing the waste or making sure that excess leftover food is donated to a local charity to bridge that gap in reducing hunger. The actual Florida Food Waste Prevention Week is a week-long campaign, and we've got three basic messages. Reducing food waste saves every family money. It can reduce hunger as we bridge that gap by contributing leftover food to those who are food insecure, and it protects the environment. So if we look at the fact that the majority of food waste occurs in our home, you just mentioned I buy produce and it goes bad in
yep,
my refrigerator.
That's the biggest problem we have with it. Mm-hmm. That's how
Absolutely.
We waste food.
We do. And whether we take a look at how can we take that, maybe it's not so perfect or the imperfect produce that's available through our markets and our grocery stores, because when we chop it up and we cook it up, it basically looks the same, whether it was perfect or imperfect. If we become a champion of buying imperfect produce, the rejects that many grocery stores will not necessarily carry because they've got their standards, that's one way we can cut back on waste. Maybe it's not in perfect condition, but you can take that less than fresh vegetable or fruit and you can cook it, you can braise it, you can roast it, you can turn it into a cobbler. That's everyday type cooking rather than just saying, throw it away. We can move past this hang up with expiration dates, because more often than not, the expiration date is well before the safe to consume expiration date. So don't let that deter you, and take into account so many other things that you can do on a personal level when you're out to eat, and perhaps you're confronted with a buffet food situation. Don't take what you're not going to eat. I mean, we all grew up with parents that said, don't take it if you can't eat it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you want everybody to clear their plates. Within the events industry in particular, we ask that event planners and event managers take into account their numbers as concisely as possible and plan for the no-shows and not necessarily over-order the food. And then we ask the vendor partners to consider not putting out the full chafing dishes of trays of food, but perhaps converting to half trays so that when that one lasagna starts to run out, they're not replacing it with a full lasagna, but rather a half lasagna or maybe even a quarter. Smaller amounts on the buffets, all different ways that we can think about our relationship with the food. And there's so many measures that can be taken in the kitchen, both commercially and personally. And there's tremendous amounts of technology available. So much of this is going to be showcased throughout the Florida Food Waste Prevention Week, in particular on our Hospitality Day, which is Wednesday, April 7th. We're going to speak to the hospitality industry, and that will include event planners and hoteliers and caterers and restaurants. And then there are Community Solutions Day taking place on Thursday, and initiatives aimed at the agriculture industry on Tuesday, I believe. So everybody should visit the SaveTheFoodFL.com website in order to learn more.
To learn more and attend these events. Let me get that out again. SaveTheFoodFL.com and take part in Florida Food Waste Prevention Week, the first ever week calling attention to this in Florida. So I want to thank you, Joanna Behrens of Joanna Behrens Hospitality. This is something that our local culinary sector has asked us to focus on, and I want to give them a shout-out, too. Thank you so much, and let's all try to do a better job at this. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And if I may indicate, our Hospitality Day is being co-produced by the Sustainable Events Network, Florida and Caribbean, in partnership with Florida International University's Chaplin School of Hospitality and Tourism Management. So we appreciate everyone's support. Thank you.
Rally is coming up this Saturday at Memorial Park in Riverside to stop Asian hate. It's in response to the recent mass shooting in Atlanta, where 8 people were killed, including 6 Asian women. And it's also calling attention to the rise in COVID-related hate crimes against Asian Americans. Wen Raty is president of the National Asian American PAC in Florida. She's on the line. Hi, Wen. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being with us. And these rallies are happening all over the country, including here in Jacksonville, to call attention to the fear and worry Asian Americans feel. Can you give us a preview of what is on the agenda Saturday in Memorial Park?
Yes, of course. So on Saturday, first of all, we will have more than 14 organizations participating. We might have more. And then we have community leaders come to speak at the rally. And we are very fortunate to have city councilwoman Jacoby Pittman to come up to speak for us. And then, of course, we also have Dr. Pervet Ahmed from UMF will be speaking for us. And then, you know, in this rally, we would like to invite everybody in the community come out to demonstrate our solidarity with all victims of racism and hate crimes against not only Asian Americans, but also African American, Latin American, Native American, LGBTQ, and all of other forms of violence. That's what we are asking for. We also would like to ask and request our public officials, elected officials, come out to support us. And mm-hmm. we are in this together. And it's our problem together. We are all Americans first, right? We wanted to have a peaceful and harmony environment for our children, for ourselves. That's all we're asking for in this rally.
That's right. It's so important to remind everyone that we are all Americans, and it's been so distressing in this pandemic, as this year has dragged on, to see hate crimes and violence spike against Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders in particular, as other Americans falsely direct aggression towards them, saying they're somehow to blame for the pandemic coming to these shores. The mass shooting in Atlanta was horrifying. And mm-hmm. so it's just been a terrible time. And Wen, can you tell me, what's it been like for you personally and your family in this time?
For me personally, I am fearful. As a restaurant owner, as you know, mm-hmm. I used to work until after midnight. I have no fear. I just feel comfortable. But right now, when it gets dark, like 8 o'clock, 9 p.m., I feel for, I just don't know when I get out of a, you know, cafe in the parking lot, somebody crazy come up to me and attack me. So whenever that staff finished the work here, I said, let's go together. So that's just something that is under, you know, under my underlying fear. It's not like something happened to me already, but just every day when I see the news, when I see the stories, you know, different type of attack all over the country. So I just had that kind of, I don't want to say anger, just emotions bothering up in my heart. What can mm-hmm. I do for, you know, those seniors, my brothers, sisters out there? They have not done anything wrong. I mean, even during the COVID-19 difficult times, all of us still continue contributing our talent, like frontline workers, continue working 24/7. Like myself, and we participate in the Food of Love campaign, sponsored by the United Chinese Alliance. It's a nationwide campaign. We donated 350 meals to the frontline workers. And Jacksonville Chinese Association locally donated more than 40,000 of PPE to the hospitals. So all of us never wanted to be center of the attention. We just want to be part of the solutions, not part of the issues, the problems. I also really feel really disappointed that mm-hmm. Many members of the community are still reluctant to get involved.
Yeah.
And our elected officials are still reluctant to come up to help to support us with this important rally, to give the message out to the constituents. You know, the hate, the violence need to stop. All of us in it together. We are Americans. We will not succeed if we are divided. Together, we will prevail.
Absolutely. And before we tell everyone again about the rally information, let's take a moment to praise you, Wen, as a restaurant owner, a business owner, a productive and amazing American citizen. I love your restaurant. It's the House of Leaf and Bean over at Beach in San Pablo. It is absolutely delicious food, and it's also well known in the local culinary world for being incredibly healthy fare. And so as a restaurant owner, you've had double stress because you're trying to run a restaurant in this pandemic too.
Yes, indeed, Melissa. Thank you for mentioning that. All of us actually in this pandemic crisis, and everybody got impacted, every business got impacted. But we have this is another, I would like to say, besides all this negative, I have overwhelmed support from the community. A lot of people just drive by and then ask me, I'm so appreciative, and I would like you to state. And we also have one retired scientist. Just every month, they have a couple hundred dollars. And I asked him, what can we do for him? He said, you don't need to do anything. You just need to be here. Continue to do what you do. So all this kind of love, you know, in the crisis, makes me feel like, you know, our country is just a strong country. We are full of love. We just need to speak to those people loud and proud. We are all Americans. We need to work together, not divided.
Yeah. So with all of that said, let's explain how people can be part of the rally. It's Saturday at Memorial Park in Riverside, just a beautiful location on the water. A rally to stop Asian hate with more than a dozen organizations taking part and city officials and others. What time can everyone arrive? When? Tell everyone once again.
All right. So the event is 4 to 6 p.m. in a Memorial Park. And people could, you know, arrive because of the parking situation, maybe around 3 and 3:30. Then we all can park safely. And the social distance is really important. And wearing the mask also really important. The forecast will be hot at the date. So bring your own water to make sure that we will not be dehydrated. And then, Melissa, would you mind that I say one last thing? I would like to request here to Sheriff Mike Williams' office. Please send someone to speak to us and help us to explain how we can prevent and how we can report the instance in Jacksonville and Greater Jacksonville. We would like to hear law and order or law enforcement, their voice and their support.
So come on out and join Wen and many others for the rally Saturday in Memorial Park and stop Asian hate. Show solidarity with the Asian American community. Wen Rady is a restaurateur. Go visit her at House of Leaf and Bean at Beach in San Marco. She's also president of the National Asian American PEC in Florida. Wen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a nice day.
You too. Have a good time out there Saturday as well. Still to come, it's the middle of the week. We have a few news and notes letting you know what's good on our menu. It's our What's Good Wednesdays, including the return of an exciting in-person event this spring in St. Augustine. Lots more still to come. Keep listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9.
Announcing Vickers Landing at Oak Bridge, bridging retirees with an all-new Ponte Vedra Beach community featuring new homes, a resort lifestyle, and a life plan for every stage of aging. Information at VickersLanding.com.
Congaree and Penn,
dedicated to agriculture and culinary endeavors, offering field-to-fork dining and outdoor experiences on over 300 acres. Sip, dine, explore. Information at congareeandpenn.com.
Among the most at risk in the pandemic are farm workers. Many are Latinx and haven't gotten their vaccines.
Hispanic people are receiving smaller shares of vaccinations relative to their shares of cases, deaths, and total population.
I'm Amy Scott. How a city in Washington State is looking to bridge that gap. Next time on Marketplace.
Tonight at 6, here on WJCT News 89.9.
I'm Peter O'Dowd. In an effort to stop an unending pattern of gun violence, a professor in Maryland visits the hospital bedside of young men like Slim, who've just been shot.
Everybody that I know got a family member dead or locked up. I'm in a cycle. Soon I'm born, I'm already in a cycle.
That's next time on Here and Now.
Today at 2 on WJCT News 89.9.
Prosecutors are some of the most powerful figures in the criminal justice system. They alone can decide whether to file or drop charges and what sentence to seek. Of 2,400 elected to office, a small but growing number of attorneys are pushing for reform, ending policies that they deem to be unfair. Meet some of America's progressive prosecutors next time on 1A.
Today, starting at 10 on WJCT News 89.9.
Welcome back. Well, the Global Women's Network, She is Fierce, has announced the return of live in-person events this spring. They've been virtual through the last year like so many others, but have attracted thousands of women to those events all over the world. And now they're phasing live events back, beginning with a Business on the Beach retreat April 30th at the Embassy Suites Oceanfront Resort in St. Augustine. Founder CEO Kelly Youngs is on the line with more. Hi, Kelly.
Hey, Melissa, thank you so much for having me.
This is so exciting. A full disclosure, I do a little consulting work for you guys and happy to do it and lead events in Jacksonville. This event is in St. Augustine coming up at the end of the month. Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, we are so excited to start up live events again. It's something that I know everybody has been missing, just that personal connection. And so much of what we do at She is Fierce is connect women. So we've been doing that virtually throughout 2020 and up until today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, did we lose you there, Kelly? Oh, we might have lost that connection. We sure did. But as we work to get her back, the events are going to be scaled for safety and comfort of attendees and be COVID conscious. They're not going to do full capacity. So that's something to keep in mind. The Business on the Beach retreat actually sold out, according to my notes here, and only 5 more seats have been added, which will go quickly. So go to sheisfiercehq.com/events for more about that. Hi, Kelly. I think we have you back now.
Hey, Melissa. Sorry, I have no idea what happened, but I'm happy to be with you.
No problem. It happens all the time. So as I was saying, the Business on the Beach retreat, you added a few tickets, but those will go fast. And then you have some more stuff coming up at the Treasury on the Plaza in St. Augustine this summer, and you have events in the fall, too. So there's a lot happening down in St. Johns County with you.
Yes. So we have, as you said, we have our Business on the Beach retreat on April 30th. It sold out almost immediately, so we added 5 more seats. But we are doing our best throughout the year to make sure that we are COVID safe and COVID conscious. We are going to be in a room on April 30th of, you know, normally that would fit about 100 and something people, and we're going to have under 40. So we're keeping the numbers really safe and really want everybody to be comfortable and be ready to work on themselves and their businesses. And as you said, we're bringing back Women's Wednesday in person. On June 9th, we're featuring some phenomenal Read USA leaders from Jacksonville. And then on September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, we are taking our annual Success Summit from a one-day event and turning it into a three-day event. So it's something that I have been hoping to do for years, and 2021 just feels like the perfect year to bring everybody back together in a safe but also really fun and powerful environment.
Fantastic. All event ticket and links can be found at sheisfiercehq.com/events. Mark your calendars now for the Business on the Beach retreat April 30th, Women's Wednesdays back June 9th, and the Success Summit in late September. I'll be seeing you soon, Kelly, and thank you so much.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
And that's some good news for you. We have a few more pieces of good news. It's our What's Good Wednesdays, beginning with the St. John's River Ferry. It's back on the water this month, and as a thank you to customers for their patience, JTA says you can hop aboard for free this week through Friday. So ride free on the ferry this week. For full schedules, visit ferry.jtafla.com. Speaking of fun free stuff, Jack's River Jams launches this week. Downtown Vision Inc. is sponsoring this series. It's a four-week multi-music genre Thursday night concert experience on the St. John's Riverfront in downtown Jack's. The lineup kicks off tomorrow night with country singer Chase Rice and local opener Firewater Tent Revival and lots of other bands through April. The Vistar Community Corner Arts and Business Market will be on site too with booths by local groups and vendors. Sounds like a lot of fun. Finally, make sure to tune into Friday's show when we speak with fifth-generation Floridian and author Tyler Gillespie. His new book, The Thing About Florida, takes us on an exuberant search for the state behind the caricatures. Sounds like fun. For more good news delivered right to your inbox, just subscribe to our What's Good Wednesday newsletter at WJCT.org. It goes out later today. We're going to close with a little music from Jack's River Jams. I believe we have a cut here. Do we, guys? Yes, we do. Enjoy, everybody. We'll be back at 9 a.m. tomorrow for our Friday Media Roundtable. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.